You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and in honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Peace, family. Hope everything is well with you today. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you wanted to do, need to do, should do, must do, can do, will do, and wanted to do, and did do. And I hope that the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But if it wasn't, I know the kind of brother and sister that you is. You got it done anyway. And we appreciate that in you. We really do. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. If you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to the archives at timeforanawakening.com. Look for the red, black, and green lion with African imposed, and the programs are dated and titled. So please do check them out. Other programming here on Time for an Awakening Media. My program here, once again, is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Immediately following my program on Mondays and Wednesdays, The Black People Matrix, with your host, Franklin Jones, from 1 to 3, Monday and Wednesday, immediately following my program. So stay tuned for my good brother and good friend, Brother Franklin Jones, The Black People Matrix. Also on Mondays from 6 to 8 is Acres of Diamonds. All the times they're going to give are Eastern times. Let's buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. I know he had a little technical difficulty last week. Let's hope he doesn't have it this week, and hope we have a great program tomorrow evening. On Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC, Revive from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, 7 p.m., Relationships with Joy and Troy on Thursdays. Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., Eastern time? Oh, that's Time for an Awakening, brothers and sisters. That's right with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Time for an Awakening. On Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., it ain't me. That's right. It is Sister POC and her program, Revive, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call for all of these programs is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. And get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. They also, if you are in the Atlanta area, they have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall. I was just in there yesterday. And they have everything right there. They have laundry detergent, soaps, batteries, toothbrushes, toothpaste. Man, I can tell so much stuff. You check it out for yourself, but check it out online as well. Africa for the Africans. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Brother Bamani Tahimba
He is taking our people to Ghana again this month, the 22nd, to May 22nd to June 4th. And it's only $3,700. It's a real good trip, 14 days. And he's also having another trip towards the end of the year, November 22nd to December 2nd, and that's going to Johannesburg and Cape Town. And then there's another trip at the end of December, December 24th, the January 4th, and that'll be going back to Ghana. So these trips, you can check it out online. Go to his website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org, or give him a call at 404-931-9429, 404-931-9429. And if you want to check out photos from previous trips, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to check out videos of previous trips, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. And all the information that you need about your trip, you know, all the documents and the shots that you need, all of that stuff is right there on the website. So everything that you need. And even if you don't go with him, make sure that you go on there so you can make sure that you are, you know, ready to travel, okay? Wherever you are going on the motherland or wherever. Shrine of the Black Madonna, located in the West End. Shrine of the Black Madonna open Wednesday through Saturday from 12 to 7, Saturday and Sunday 11, excuse me, open Wednesday through Saturday from 12 to 7, on Sunday from 1 to 3, and they have everything you want. They have furniture, they have clothing, they have artwork, sculptures, paintings, books. In fact, that's really where I come from with the Shrine of Black Madonna, is about books. But they also have an African Holocaust Museum. Like I said, they're located in the West End, and the number to call is 404-549-8676, 404-549-8676. They also have a class every Saturday of Know Thyself. It's free and open to the public from 1:30 to 3:30, every Saturday, 1:30 to 3:30. But if you can't make that class, but you still want the information, that's right, they have a multimedia library with over 15,000 video files, over 15,000 images, over 40,000 audio files, and over 2,000 books. It is, brothers and sisters, 4.5 terabytes of African enlightenment. So check out the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Also, another bookstore we promote, and that is also in the Greenbrier Mall, and that is the Medu Bookstore, the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. And if you go there and you don't have the book that you're requesting or looking for, just tell them what it is, and believe me, they'll get it for you. Books. Another bookstore is my brother, Kazimde Ajamu, Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, located in Lithonia. The number to call is 404-519-8107. Just to mention, that brother has the new NASCAR's red, black, and green shoes. So does the Shrine. They have the red, black, and green shoes. And there's a new one coming out, Khalid Muhammad's. It's a running shoe, you know, with the cloth top and so forth. The Khalid Muhammad's, man, I got to get them. But still, my favorite will always be the Nat Turner's. It's a good shoe. And I'll be doing a presentation on African history at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore Friday, May 24th. Friday, May 24th. I'll be doing that presentation at 7 p.m. And I look forward to brothers and sisters coming out and checking out that presentation. It's a presentation that I've been doing for quite some time, and I do it in New Orleans because I'm going to New Orleans at the end of the month for our training program, Black Firefighters Training Program. ULU, us lifting us. ULU, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. That means we are pulling our resources together to do for ourselves, providing goods and services for our people. That is us lifting us. Go online, check out usliftingus.com. Become a member of Us Lifting Us. Contribute to Us Lifting Us. Make it happen. If it fails because we made it fail, because we failed to support it. We have over 500 members and counting. And we need the 500 members to support whatever we do as a collective. That's what it's supposed to be about. We had, you know, the ultimate goal was to develop a mall, a large, you know, big structure, you know, just like a regular mall with goods and services that we can provide for our people and jobs and so forth. Others have done it. We can do it. And we're asking not just you in Atlanta. Obviously, I'm asking you in Atlanta to come to the cafe that we started, Cafe Ulu, 2036 Sylvan Road. You know, I'm definitely asking you to do that and to support that. Or go online to cafeulu.com and buy some coffee or something, you know, to help support what we're doing. This was the design. This was the act. This was our goal. And we have good people. And so are you, brothers and sisters. So are you. And we're asking and we're pleading and we're pledging to you to come out and support Cafe Ulu. Go online. Take out a membership. Cafe Ulu is open Tuesday through Friday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. Saturday and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And we sell coffee. Once again, we're located 2036 Sylvan Road in Sylvan Plaza. We have Cameroon Boyo, my favorite coffee. You know, I always talk about it. Tanzania, Kenya, and Ethiopia, where coffee started. We also have Brazilian and Panamanian, Nicaraguan. Boy, we have coffee. We want to be known for coffee. So if you like different coffees, unless, of course, you just like the same old, you know, believe me, there's different tastes and they're good. And we also have loose teas that are delicious. That hibiscus ginger tea is outstanding. Pastries, smoothies, you name it, wraps. Come check us out, Cafe Ulu. And or go online, cafeulu.com. We also have a vitality drink, Ambrosia. My good brother, Novak Young, developed a vitality drink. He's got another drink coming out, too. So we got the stuff for you, brothers and sisters. Come on out and support. Another institute I want to bring to the attention of our audience, and that is Akabin Institute. We need you to support Akabin Institute because of the work that Baba Baruti and Yah Baruti are doing with our people, and that's particularly with our young people. They deserve to be supported. They have a P.O. box. You can make a check or money order out to Akabin Institute, P.O. box 10786, Akabin, A-K-O-B-E-N, A-K-O-B-E-N Institute, P.O. box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310, P.O. box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. Or if you wanted to send money through one of the apps, PayPal or Cash App, the $ Yah, YAAMBARUTI. And you can send money that way. Appreciate it. I know they do. Also, too, we got a couple of things coming up. Ewadadas, at the Juice Bar, and they're having a seminar, the State of the African Health in America 2019 seminar with Dr. Layla Africa. Brother Layla Africa, our living legend. Yep, now that Dr. Sabi is gone, we need to wrap our arms around Dr. Africa. This Saturday, the 11th, day before Mother's Day, and this $3 in advance, $40 at the door. It's a serious seminar, health seminar. There's a free meet and greet and book signing on Friday the 10th. On Friday the 10th. So come check that out. Okay? And Odada's Juice Kitchen, Healthy Market, the Health Market and Juice Bar, is located 878 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard in the West End. Right across the street from the Greenbrier Mall. From the West End Mall. Right across the street from the West End Mall. 878 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard. The number to call is 404-444-1635. 404-444-161635. Juneteenth Day. The Juneteenth Day celebration here in Atlanta is the weekend of the 14th, 15th, and 16th. Outstanding. Got parades. They got all kinds of festivities going on. I'll be sending out information in more detail, but mark your calendars for Juneteenth Day, June 14th, 15th, and 16th, right here in Atlanta. I know back in Milwaukee, we celebrate Juneteenth Day on June 19th, you know. And I always have mixed feelings about Juneteenth Day. The reason being, I'll be like, damn, they got 2.5 more years of work out of our people. That's right, 2.5 years of more work out of our people for free. When they finally went down to Galveston, Texas, and they got the word that y'all's free. We's free. That's right, we's free. Okay. Enye Sesem. The Enye Sesem, the book of daily, revolutionary daily thoughts. I'll read yesterday's as well. Yesterday was the 5th, and today is the 6th. May 5th. But who is this white man who tells us what to do and what not to do? Whom I serve and who tells me what is good for us? Is the white man one of us? Willie Abraham. Proselytization is a tactic of imperialists. It is a method used by those unsure that their cause and view will be taken up by others because of their intrinsic values. Those who employ it or who have others they have proselytized employ it for them. Recognize the weaknesses of their position and favor using psychological terror and deceit to bring those with well-reasoned disagreement over to their side. At the same time, in its operation, proselytization is arrogant in that it assumes ignorance on the parts of its victims. Affirm, enemies do not tell me what to think, say, or do. Affirm, enemies do not tell me what to think, say, or do. Probably the biggest proselytizing, well, both of them, Christianity and Islam, are two of the biggest proselytizing religions on the planet. Everywhere they go, they try to seek converts, either through the persuasion or even through the point of death. May 6th. They say karate means empty hands. So then it's a perfect for the poor man. Dead prayers. Every African child needs to learn an African martial art. It is not available locally, then any martial art will do until an African one can be found, since these fighting skills originated in the motherland. Poor or not, our children need to learn how to defend themselves and the discipline that goes along with it. Our sisters in particular need to know the mechanisms of artillery and development and in confident marksmanship in some weaponry, be it a handgun, a rifle, a crossbow, a knife, whatever. For those who have not noticed, almost every gun magazine out has a cover or article featuring European women and children learning the art of survival and marksmanship. All of them are being prepared for what they know is inevitable. While we and our children are mastering the art of being entertained and entertaining them, there has never been a time when these agents of disorder have not been engaged in or preparing to engage in war against others. Those they destroy are quickly pacified out of any desire to defend themselves. Knowing the innate need in Europeans for violent destruction and domination of others, only a fool would not find some weapon to master. If there are no practical, potentially effective weapons available, then the body must be trained into being one. No African should ever be defenseless in a European reality. Because that's what we in, brothers and sisters. a European reality. Affirm, I'm learning and passing on our martial arts. Affirm, I'm learning and passing on our martial arts. The Inye Sesem, the book of daily revolutionary thought. Had a great weekend. Well, let me read this again. I'm going to read this on a periodic, well, on a daily basis. One, of course, is you dispute facts you don't understand with myths you are forced to believe. This mindset keeps you mentally captive, mentally enslaved. You dispute facts you don't understand with myths you are forced to believe. This mindset keeps you mentally enslaved. If we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common front and a common purpose, we shall be haggling and wrangling among ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we suffered heretofore. Dr. Kwame Nkrumah. Prophetic words indeed, aren't they? And I bear witness. Prophetic words indeed. That's why I want to read that, let you know. He understood clearly what we must do. And yet, the frightened Negroes, the scared Negroes, or the bought and paid ones, those who probably had some trinkets given to them by the European to sabotage and overthrow Patrice Lumumba, Kwame Nkrumah, Didi Amin Dada, all of these people who believed in African unity, a one Africa, African sovereignty. That's a good segue because that's what I was about this weekend, African sovereignty. We had a great time at Bakas and Tsum Tsum. It was the 16th annual Bakas and Tsum Tsum held in Sweetwater Park. Sweetwater State Park in Lithia Springs, Georgia, just right outside of Atlanta, and going towards Alabama, west on I-20. And the new edition of the African World, the African World newspaper, put together by our good brothers and sisters in San Antonio, Texas, the Arrow, and the brothers and sisters in San Antonio, Texas. I think about seven of them came. They got in the car on Friday evening, drove from San Antonio all through the night. Everybody takes their turn driving, sleep drive, whatever. Get to Atlanta, get freshened up, participate in a box of Tsum Tsum. They bring the newspaper, the African World, because they helped publish it at the Arrow, and they participate. Once it's over, they get back in the car and drive back to San Antonio. I love them. I respect them, and I hope know they're doing well. I always wish them a traveling grace. But that's the brothers and sisters at the Arrow, the Institute of the New World. A new African world. And of course, Bakas and Tsum Tsum is raising the spirits of those warrior scholars, raising the spirit of Dr. John Henry Clark. You know, yesterday a brother read the great quote by Dr. John Henry Clark of history. And it truly is one of mine, because history is vitally important, because if you don't understand and know the history, then you would believe that you were running around the jungle with a rag up your ass and a bone through your nose, never having created a civilization of any kind or any consequence. And of course, we know now that is not true. But it is the lie that the European has consistently perpetuated, and still today many people believe that lie. Because even though all of the there's tons of information, a plethora of information proving otherwise. But because of cognitive dissonance, they still believe that they are superior. They still perpetuate the idea that they created Kemet. If you watch National Geographic, Learning Channel, Discovery Channel, A&E, whatever, you will see when they have a dramatization or illustration, Europeans has in control of ancient Kemet. Well, I know what's happening today. When the spread of Islam came throughout northern Africa, it changed the dynamic in Egypt or Kemet. And of course, the people, because of all the things that have been happening here over the last at least 200 years, they take advantage. They say it's them. They know it ain't them. But, hey, they got control of the temples and tombs and pyramids. They make that money. You see some of their shops in malls where they have all kinds of African Kemetic cartouches and clothing and artwork and so forth, papyrus and so forth. That's ours. It's African. Kemet was in Africa in ancient times, and it's in Africa today. It's on the continent. The Nile River flows nowhere but in Africa. And Dr. Sheikh Anta Jop, Dr. Jop proved, he said, I can prove to you that the ancient Kemetic people were African, black people. The smoking gun, when you talk about a situation where there is bona fide, verified proof and beyond a shadow of a doubt, was the melanin dosage test that he created that you could extract from the mummies. And there he proved it. But also, too, he said, I have 10 other ways. There's phenotypes. There's other eyewitness accounts. There's so many ways, skeletal, to prove. So in 1974 at the symposium in Cairo, where the debate was held, he won the damn debate. It should be over. But no, because the cracker is so hell-bent on domination, I don't give a damn what proof you got. I say it's this. It's just like European continent. There is no European continent. This is the arrogance. It's just like the piece I read to you in Yesesim, in proselytization. It's their arrogance. I say it so. No, it does not fit the definition. I don't give a damn if it don't fit the definition. Even though I created the definition. I say it so. This is some sad stuff indeed, dear brothers and sisters. That's why, to me, what is most important at this stage of our struggle for independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for us as a people is knowledge of self and knowledge of our enemy. Yes. Caucasians, Europeans, they are what they are. They are an enemy. They are destroyers. They want nothing more. In fact, I just read a piece. No, I didn't really read it. I gleaned over it on Facebook, talking about a former in Britain, the former military chairman or whoever the hell he was. He wanted to go to war in Africa and enlisted a war with the Chinese. I don't know, you know, I know Britain, see, Britain got juice because, you know, America will defend Britain. Israel will defend Britain. So Britain got juice because these other Caucasians, these other European countries will defend them. Just like, that's why Israel has juice. Because America and Europe will defend them. European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege is global. It's a global domination force. And there is no appeal to them morally, rationally. There is no appeal. There is nothing that we can do to tear that down. What we have to do is get out of it. That's why I tell you I like that movie, Get Out. But this quote by Dr. Clark in the new edition of the African World, and you can pick up the African World, it's free, when you go to Us Lifting Us or Cafe Ulu. Go to Cafe Ulu. There's a number of them there. Pick up the African World. And the dynamic quote by Dr. John Henry Clark is, "History is a clock that people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. History is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells the people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most importantly, an understanding of history tells the people where they still must go and what they still must be. The relationship of history to her people is like the relationship of a mother to her child." That's how, and that's why it's so important that we know, and that we know clearly, and that we begin to internalize that and utilize that for our liberation, our self-determination, our sovereignty. If you know Abakasan Sumsum, and you've been, it is all about sovereignty. It is all about self-determination and doing for self. That's the bottom line. There is no compromise. There is no let's come to the table. We still, I heard that the other day, you know, we need to have a seat at the table. I was about to cuss, man. Damn that table. Get your own table. We don't need to be at the table with crackers, because their agenda is always different. You can come to the table all you want and think you're going to make a decision. This decision probably is outside. The table might just be symbolic. Decision might be made on the golf course, in the country club, in a place where you can't go. The decision might be made by the Illuminati, the Skull and Bones, the Trilateral Commission, and all the other so-called secret societies. Decision might be made by the Europeans, Greek letter fraternities that we copied. I swear right now, I wish one thing would be so dynamic and so beautiful. If brothers and sisters said, you know what? Considering how we have been constantly mistreated and treated, we're going to drop this Greek stuff. We're no more AKA, no more Delta Sigma Theta, no more Mega Psi Phi, all that bull. We're going to call ourselves African fraternities. And instead of branding on a symbol of the Omega or a Q, whatever, we're going to brand on an Ankh. We're going to brand on an obelisk. We're going to brand on a Dinka symbol, Jemnyamye. We're going to brand on things that are African. I know. I know, Brother Oshi. Wishful thinking. But one thing that must happen is that we must begin to move in that direction in terms of sovereignty. And I know it's, let me say this about me, and then I hope that you understand, listeners. And please join the conversation at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832 here at African Perspectives on the Motherland Media Network. on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I know that we keep holding out hope. We hope, we keep praying. I've been over that. I've been done that. I mean, a long time ago. I embraced the idea, and then when I came here and talked with Sister Mama Marimba Ani, Dr. Ani, well, you know I love the sister. I love Urugu. I've often said that's our Bible. It's a great, outstanding work that she did in helping us understand our enemy, helping us understand the European, how he thinks. But I know that many of us, you know, we don't, you know, through the proselytization process, through their arrogance, keeps us ignorant. And we keep thinking and praying and believing that someday, somehow, some way, the Caucasian will have an epiphany and he will know that what he has done to us has been wrong. And he'll make amends. He'll give us reparations. Now, you know, I'm down for reparations. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, I'm not down with what's happening right now. I sure now ain't down with this. What Ados is doing and saying and others. You know, it's crazy. It's crazy. In fact, somebody told me that Ados, the descendants, descendants of Africans, of European enslavement, whatever the hell their name is, they're supposed to be coming to NCOBRA, the National Coalition for Black Reparations in America. NCOBRA is having their conference in Detroit next month. The reparations conference is always held in June. And supposedly a delegation, if I could call it that, or a group, or some thugs are coming from ADOS. You know, American descendants of slaves, of slavery, whatever the hell they call it, to address NCOBRA. That'll be interesting. I'm not going to be there, but I'm truly interested in finding out, you know, what happens. Truly. That's going to be dynamic. There's a good, some number of good articles in the newsletter, The African World. And in fact, I'm going to read an excerpt of Baba Baruti's book. Baba Baruti has a new book out, and it's a book about education, training. That's right. How to educate the Asafu, or warriors. Warrior's wisdom, Asafu. To educate a people. To educate a people. So after the break, I'm going to get off into that. They have some good quotes here in the African world. Gradually, we as Negroes are witnessing an increasingly encroachment upon our rights on the continent of Africa by the Europeans. Already the colonizing governments of Europe have established themselves all over Africa by way of political control, and we find they are calling upon their different nationals to go out and take up their residency on the continent for the purpose of exploiting the country and the natural resources. Marcus Garvey said that. And that is being done, has been done, and continues to be done. And now with other players in the mix, it makes it extremely tough. The Chinese, the Indians. And we as African people can go nowhere and do anything of what these others are doing to us. We can go nowhere. If someone else has decided the rules of your existence, you are a prisoner to the person who made the decision. If you are peaceful and give everybody in the world a guarantee that you are going to be peaceful and not hurt anybody, there's nothing you can be in this kind of world but a slave. See, we are a peaceful people, historically. I know in America, the image of us is not being peaceful. Image of us as gangsters and thugs, and that justifies the killing of us by the police and the authorities, and the consistent killing of each other. They're out of control. They're violent prone. No, we have been a peaceful people. That is our history. That's who we are. But when you have a people who are not peaceful, you have a people who have developed a mindset of greed and thievery and hatred and robbery and murder, you can't appeal to them. That's like when, I think it was Menelik. Menelik said, these folks, they ain't got no spirituality. They anti-spirit. Shit, we can talk about, we can talk about, you know, appealing to and praying. No, we got to get some guns. We got to fight these folks. And what's interesting, without the superior weaponry that they developed coming out of that medieval dark age, that helped facilitate their rise to where their position they have today. Because physically, straight up, we kick they all the time. All the time. Physically, straight up. We're better physically. I mean, you know, if that was not the case, the NBA wouldn't be 80% us. The National Football League wouldn't be 75% us. And even baseball would be dominated by us. But, of course, American Africans don't play baseball too much. But Caribbean Africans, Venezuelan Africans, oh, the Major League Baseball is full of them. So physically, you could see that. And intellectually, the only thing the European has had over us is their evil mindset. Their wanton, willingly desire to dominate and control people. They bring nothing new. They steal everything and claim it for themselves. Have you ever researched the inventions and the contributions of us as a people? And then when you go through all of that, and I ain't talking about stuff that we did years ago, and I ain't talking about ancient, I'm talking about even up to date. But I'll say this, and I hope you clearly understand. All that being true, the only thing then for some people that would save us is divine intervention. And who is this entity that is divine for us? What spirit is that? What God is that for us? Especially because the majority of our people pray to the European's God. The majority of our people pray to the Arab's God. I know both religions claim their universality of being a religion that is embraced by all mankind simply because they proselytized it, they imposed it on everybody. It wasn't something that everybody, or that God, in God's infinite wisdom, shown to the world, says, this is the way, this is the religion. And the world said, yes. No matter what culture we are going to pray to that God. No. This was Europeans imposing Christianity. This was Arabs imposing Islam. And now the cultures of, and now the various cultures of the world embrace both of these religions. And the problem with these religions is that they're not a base for liberation. I know there's some brothers and sisters who practice liberation theology. Christian liberation theology. And they look at the Bible and they look at our situation and they pray. And from that context, I maintain that can't be done. I'm down with Duty Bookman of the Haitian Revolution of 1804. I'm down with Duty Bookman. Duty Bookman said, you know, Duty Bookman was not a Haitian. He was Jamaican. And the argument is that Duty Bookman was the, you know, the voodoo man. But Duty Bookman told the brothers and sisters, throw away the white man's God and you will be free. Throw away the white man's God and you will be free. He didn't say you might be free. He didn't say you could be free. He didn't say you should be free. No, he said, throw away the white man's God and you will be free. It's just like Marcus Garvey. Up, you mighty people, you can accomplish what you will. The will of a person, the will of a people are vital to their very existence and achievements in the future. The will. Do we have the will? Good question, isn't it, brothers and sisters? Do we have the will? We're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we're going to get off into more of the African World Newsletter that was distributed at a Box of Tsum Tsum, the 16th annual Box of Tsum Tsum Tsum. A Box of Tsum 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 means African spiritual warfare, raising up the spirit of Dr. John Henry Clark, Dr. Bobby Wright, who I talked about last week, Monday. Gave him a tribute and praise. Sister Frances Cress Welsing and all of the brothers and sisters. I'm going to talk to you more about how the proceedings went. It was beautiful. So you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You be right here with us. All right, family.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. That was Grover Washington's Mr. Magic, 1975. One of the best pieces, huh? God rest his soul. On the programming here on Time for an Awakening Media, immediately following my program, The Black People Matrix from 1 to 3, every Monday and Wednesday, The Black People Matrix from 1 to 3. Acres of Diamonds this evening, Mondays, from 6 to 8. Right after Acres of Diamonds, let's buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. On Tuesday, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. On Friday, if it's Friday, it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then on Saturday, Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then on Sundays, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Revive with Sister POC. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Once you changed to their gods, you changed to their dress, their taste, their music, their food. They don't need any prison walls after that. They've got prison walls more binding because the prison wall is inside of your mind. Dr. John Henry Clark. The mind. Abakasum Sum Sum. They have some non-negotiable principles of commitment. These are the non-negotiable principles of commitment of brothers and sisters who believe in African spiritual warfare. Our constant and supreme objective is African world, African sovereignty. Our prime, consistent, and supreme objective is world African sovereignty. That means African people are free globally to do as they want to do. Nobody outside of us tells us anything about what we should do, can do, will do, want to do, whatever. Nobody outside of us, particularly those who have shown to be an open and sworn enemy. We commit our mind, body, and spirit to the building of an African world order. We want to work with Africans on the continent, Africans in the diaspora, all Africans, to help them understand that we are one Africa. And only through that coming together of one Africa can we throw off the yoke of Europeans, Indians, Chinese, whoever. African sovereignty is based on Ma'at. Our social order must be consistent with African spiritual philosophy. Our value and belief systems are reflective of an African worldview. Ma'at, the oldest guidance for humans of truth, justice, righteousness, harmony, reciprocity, balance, order. The seven principles of Ma'at. If you instill those into your everyday lives, like you should instill the Nguza Saba into your everyday life, and as a practice, imagine what the kind of people we would be and where we would be right now. Spirit is political. Ancestral power strengthens us and guides us as we wage war. We are, therefore, committed to the development of African spiritual warfare. We believe in ancestral communion, and we are committed to understanding how it functions in our daily lives. Because of our reciprocal and intimate relationship to our ancestors, the proliferation of African life is of paramount importance to us. Therefore, any lifestyle or political, social, or economic policy or action that threatens African life, we defend as an act of war against ourselves and our ancestors. we are being warred upon. No, we have been and being warred upon. But because we're just trying to find a comfortable corner, we're just trying to find my individual self in that comfortable corner, you don't give a damn about all the other brothers and sisters who may not have it to find themselves in that kind of comfortable corner where you can live in a subdivision or gated community or cul-de-sac or whatever. We are clear in our definition of African family as man, woman, and child. And we are committed to its development and defense. As Africans, we recognize two genders and understand that it is only through the union of a natural man and a natural woman that our ancestors can return. I say it all the time. The Pan-African movement, the African liberation movement, the African sovereignty movement. There is no different planks in there. It is strictly, if you are homosexual, you are that. That's what you are. But you're not going to propagate that. You're not going to push and promote that within our struggle. That's your business. That's your business. So I'm saying, brothers and sisters, and I'm always saying this, we need each other. The struggle is for men and women to come together. We need each other. We need that warrior spirit of the sisters of an Nzinga Yasantiwa. We need that warrior spirit of the brothers. Thomas Sankara, Amoko Cabral. Oh, brother played Amoko Cabral at the Abaka Tsum Tsum. Was outstanding. The brothers and sisters that, you know, let me just say this before I get off into what I want to take, read the excerpts from Baba Baruti's new book, To Educate. The brothers and sisters that perform the spiritual recreation of our ancestors is phenomenal. They come together on that day. They're on the phone. They're conference calling and going over what they go over, but they don't have a dress rehearsal. They don't put it all together until they come there that Saturday and they put it all together. And it comes out beautifully. All the children gathered around Baba Baruti and he instructed them. He explicitly instructed them about what they should do. The things they need to learn. And then the spirit of Dr. John Henry Clark is called him, and Baba Kwaku out of Augusta is outstanding. I'm sorry, brothers. He's channeled Dr. Clark beautifully. Then he brings forth Armenthia, better known as Harriet Tubman. He brings forth Armenthia, and she talks about the struggle and how important it is to have that guidance. Then others were brought forth. Amoko Cabral, the brother that played Amoko Cabral, was outstanding. Yasantiwa. Francis Cress Welsing. And the sister that played Francis Cress Welsing is from D.C. and she's a psychologist. That's right. In fact, she has some of Dr. Welsing's patients. Found out about her some of her patients. The brother that played Marcus Garvey, beautiful. It is a beautiful spiritual upliftment. Abaka Tsum Tsum. It strengthens us. It motivates us. It guides us. I know some of you are not into believing that we as African people can run our own world. Because you've been so indoctrinated, you've been so trained, and the best thing that you want to do is find a comfortable corner or niche in the Europeans. And I'm saying to you, if you go with them, there's nowhere to run and nowhere to hide. And I know there's a lot of Negroes. That's a history of those who would turn their backs on us and turn us in or fight against us with them. I mean, right now, how many of us are in America's armed forces? At one time, there was a lot of us because there was nothing for us in the society. But then as the armed forces became more technical, a lot of us were excluded. Not because we couldn't deal with the technical, but no, because they didn't want it. They didn't want us. As we prepare to deal with this battle, it's a battle. We're at war for the minds and heart and the spirit of our people. And it is constant. That's why every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I'm talking this way. I ain't cracking damn it jokes. This ain't no show. This ain't nothing funny. The bottom line purpose of this program is to wake us up to the realities that we have to face as African people for our very lives and the future of our people. Isafo Inyasesim Warrior's Wisdom, the new book coming out to educate a people. Mwalimu Bomani Baruti and Ya Baruti. Yerugu has vested interest in our miss and diseducation. You cannot afford for us to decide what we want to know and how we want to know it. They need us to be their mindless creatures, not historically and conscious, aware people who are visionary thinkers. They don't want that. No. So has already been pointed out, we know that their educational system relative to us is doing exactly what it was designed to do. Let me say that again, because people say, the system is broken. Hell no, the system is not broken. Ain't a damn thing in this system broken. This system is created by and for Caucasians, and what they do is find ways to make sure that you don't get the redress that you're supposed to get, because they don't give a damn about you. The system is not broken. It functions the way it was designed to function for their in their image and interest and for them. So as we already been pointed out, we know that their educational system relative to us is exactly what it is designed to do. The situation we continue to find ourselves in is no accident. It serves a purpose in their racist supremacy aspirating empire. Therefore, if we are to educate our own, if we are to become the educators we need, what should be some of our most important personal priorities and qualities? What personal priorities or qualities should underpin our character as educators of African community in general and African children in particular? Among them, we must include being motivated. There are 12 things here. So this is number one, motivated. We should be determined to succeed at this work, move to motivate those whose minds are placed in our care, enthusiastic about the infinite possibilities of the genius we are helping to inform and direct. Number two, we should be committed. We should feel very strongly attached to those placed in our charge, accountable, encouraging, and developing and politically structuring the curiosity of all of the children in our community, as well as everyone in the African nation. Number three, thorough. We should be as complete as possible in our presentation of our truth, cognizant of the truthism that one lie unravels a body of truths. We should make a personal promise to never lie to our students or give them a watered-down, neutered, compromised, pacifying version of our story or our history. To do so would be ahistorical and of our historical reason or historical or our historical genocide. Number four, resilient. We should be tireless, infatigable. Fatigue is the word. Fatigue is a tough one for me to say. So unshakable, unbreakable in our pursuit of academic excellence, no matter how many failures we experience in our attempts to master our education vocation, no matter how many students leave our guard and choose a way that is not aligned with those of our community and vision, we can never allow ourselves to be stopped from being and giving our best. Because there's going to be students. It's just like the kids I worked with when I was back in Milwaukee on my off days from the fire department. I knew there were young men and even some young women that just wanted a break from their class to come to check out Brother Oshi, that they really didn't grasp the things that I was saying, and they did otherwise. We all know that. When you're bombarded 24/7, 365 by these crackers and their notions of your inferiority and your inability, it's hard to have the armor that you need and the confidence that you need to repel that. That's why to be resilient is utmost important. Number five, patient. We should be willing to give each of our students whatever time is necessary and reasonable to answer any questions, solve any problems, and do any assignments we give them based on their individual abilities. We do not adhere to the rush mentality of Urugu's progressive reality. We are sharers of the first order, giving our listeners whatever length and depth of explanation necessary to make them understand whatever it is we wish to convey. Knowing there are other present who may not know either, but who do not have the courage to ask. And this makes us change takers, because we can only hope for a positive outcome for our patients. We are tolerant of differences of opinion, but not of which is consistent in the defense of Urugu. We are not that kind of open-minded. We are not open-minded to Urugu, to Eurasian, the Caucasians, to the Cracker. No. But we understand the patience we have to have as educators, because not all of them will receive the information. And to internalize that information, act on the information the same way. But through consistency and the resilience that we have, it will be done. Non-judgmental, number six. As any educator knows well, each student is a person who has substantial and mindful, emotional, intellectual, academic interests different from others, which each of them requiring an understanding, empathetic, personal touch. Simply knowing that they are different is not enough. A caring awareness of them must be brought into the center of the interaction with each warrior in training in order for us and them to access their genius. We take them from where they are and we bring them to where we know that we need to go. So they have no knowledge. They have no understanding. We're patient. We're consistently informing them. I do this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and I talk about independence, self-determination, liberation and sovereignty for African people. Because as far as I'm concerned, there's no other discussion. And so that's why maybe some people will listen to this program, some people will not. They don't want to hear it. I understand that. But one thing I'm going to be is consistent. Because I'm keenly aware for African people to be a people again, to determine for themselves who and what they are based on their history. This has to happen daily. This is constant positive reinforcement. Okay, yeah, it's redundant. Yeah, it's repetitive. But damn it, I'm going to keep on saying it every day on this program. I don't care if I got a whole bunch of listeners or small listeners. Because if I make an impact on you, if I help you develop your African mind and give you a better perspective and a love for yourself and a love for each other, that's why I'm here. Diligent, number seven. No one in the community should be as hardworking as its educators. I'll repeat. No one in our community should be as hardworking as its educators. I know a lot of our teachers in the Atlanta public school system, Milwaukee public school, Chicago, all throughout the public school systems in this country could give less than a damn about the children that they are trying to teach. They want the money. They want the benefits. They want the time off. They don't care about the kids. There's no love for these kids. They come in day one of no expectations. Not low. No. They don't care. And they don't care what happens to them. Some of them are able to move outside of the cities that they are employed by. So they don't have to deal with that. And their kids wouldn't go to that school. Diligent. No one in the community should be as hardworking as its educators. We should be self-challenging. And with us being our only competition, see the ancestors as our only point of comparison. In setting and reaching our goals, we need to see ourselves as assured hard worker, hardworking, conscientious, industrious, who are responsible for the intergenerational transmission of the entirety of our people's knowledge base. We must also be of the mind to humbly accept that we do not know what we do not know. Easily admitting fault and altruistics in our willingness to do the research and the study necessary to bring the student whatever answers they need. Because, see, ignorance is only absence of knowledge. Ignorance is not bad. Hell, I'm ignorant of quantum physics. But if someone would give me a cursory knowledge of quantum physics and an understanding, that would eliminate my ignorance. Ignorance is not bad. It's easy to impart new knowledge. Because they don't know. Are you willing to know? Do you really want to know? Do you want to ask the right questions? This is the job of the educator to bring out of the student. You know, I mentioned this quote by Dr. King. It's my favorite Dr. King quote. And, you know, there's so many of them. I'm quite sure for a lot of our people, this quote, you know, probably slip by. Maybe they don't know it. Probably some of them never even heard it. But it's dynamic because of what Dr. King says. There's nothing more dangerous than conscientious stupidity and sincere ignorance. Let me see if I got that one right, because I mean I haven't. There's nothing more dangerous than sincere ignorance and conscientious stupidity. There you go, Brother Oshie. There's nothing more dangerous than sincere ignorance and conscientious stupidity. Well, we know what the word sincere means. It's dedicated. Sincerity. Sincere. To ignorance? You are dedicated to being ignorant? And once again, I just mentioned the fact that what ignorance is not really a bad thing. But if you are sincere to being ignorant, that is a bad thing. Because you don't want to eliminate that ignorance. You don't care to know. Just like the brother said, you talking to me, I don't really want you to try to change my mind. You know, I don't care how many facts you bring to me. You know, I'm going to go along with this myth that's been imposed upon me
from my childhood and all my upbringing in the Sunday school and all my going to the churches and revivals. So I don't want you trying to, you know, educate me, inform me, giving me historical information, factual information that could be verified and bona fide. No. I'm sincere to ignorance and conscientious stupidity. To be conscious is to be aware that you're stupid and you don't care about being, you don't want to be enlightened, you don't care to know. Nothing more dangerous than sincere ignorance and conscientious stupidity. It's where we find our people. Number 8, uncompromising. We should set the standard for unwavering African warriorhood, tenaciously pursuing through hard working knowledge of the ancient, traditional, and uncontaminated African way so that we can explain it to listening ears. We want to make sure that the students understand all of the things that have happened to us. Some of them are hurtful. Some of them are embarrassing. Because many people believe that our ancestors sold us, put a call out to Europe. Hey, Europe, crackers, we got some Africans down here we've been warring with. Why don't you come and put them and enslave, put them in chains, take them out of here, get them out of here, take them somewhere, take them to Europe or some other land that I, you know. No. Were there Africans engaged to some degree? Oh, yeah. But this is Europeans enslaving Africans, capturing and doing what they did to Africans. Even to the point where some of them who thought they had a deal with the Europeans, probably Europeans flipped on them and took them. Didn't give a damn. They didn't take you because you were Nigerian or Cameroonian or Ugandan or Sinhalese. They took you because you were African. They didn't give a damn what language you spoke. In fact, if you 3, 4, 5 spoke the same language, then you're going to be over here. You're going to be, because we don't want you communicating. We don't give a damn about your language. We want to break you and make you a servant. Break your spirit. Break your will. Number 9, thoughtful. We should be religiously meditative so that our stillness guides our work from the chaos so that we can do it better and better. Meditate sometime. Concentrate. Focus. Do the best work. That our work gets better and better each time. Number 10. Sovereignty-ness. We should be culture first. Visionary examples for our students and the community, seeing victory through others, allow delusions of defeat to cloud their focus. As nationalists in their anti-African reality, our thoughts should always be a solution orientated, not limited to a litany of problems, except to connect it to now. Culture first. I don't use race. I know, many Africans who were committed and sisters, like they call themselves the race men or, you know, race first, Marcus Garvey, a race man. You know, it is not about race. There's only one race, of which Africans are the fathers and mothers of the human race. But there are cultures. There are cultures. And the European has imposed its culture on the planet. It's selfish and greedy, undermining, murderous, rape, pillage, plunder. the European culture. And it has affected many other cultures in terms of how they behave in response or in conjunction with European culture. So as a sovereigntist, we should be culture first. Visionary examples for our students and the community, seeing victory where others allow delusions of defeat to cloud their focus. As nationalists, it is an anti-African reality. Our thought should always be solution-orientated, not limited to a litany of the problems, except to connect it to now. Number 11, we should be centered. We should be child, family, ancestor, divinity. That is our center. Child, family, ancestors, the divinity. Centered and see ourselves as the inhabitants and the guardians of the center of a centratic sphere, model of defensive and intellectual elevation. Number 12, righteously engaged. We should be our historically and historically grounded, knowing the self-defeatedness of forgiving or forgetting intrusive, insatiable, determined enemies. Our righteous rage must find its logical, functional way into the hearts and minds of those we touch to the degree that they understand the connectedness of themselves with our story and our history and our way. Of course, this description is in ideal type, a model of perfected educator, of the perfected educator. And as we know, no one is perfect. We should be. We are all works in progress. Therefore, the only critical question we must continue asking ourselves is, are we doing all in our power based on what we know and the resources at our disposal at this moment to operate at the highest level of existence for each priority or quality? Are we, to the best of our abilities, being godlike? Are we the model to help educate our people? To educate a people, as well as Baruti's 23 other self-published books, are available online. Available online at AkabinHouse.com and at your local American African bookstore. Baruti's next scheduled book signing lecture will be at the Liberated Minds. Liberated Minds Homeschool and Education Expo. I attended that last year. Beautiful. July 20th of this year. So, if we understand what our responsibility is, you know, I wanted to be an educator. Someone said, well, Brother Oshi, the things you have done, you are an educator. You know, I didn't really, really constantly say, I really want to be a teacher. But the further along I got into my life, even though I became a firefighter, being a firefighter allowed me that time to work with our young people. And as I said earlier, even though I know many of them did not really hear me, listen to me, internalize what I was saying and put what I was saying into practice. I understand that. Some did. What a joy it is for me when I, you know, when somebody comes, I mean, it happened to me a few times. It had to be here a couple years ago at Juneteenth Day, when they had Juneteenth Day at Morris Brown, right off of Dr. King, part of the Atlanta University system at Morris Brown. And a brother said, hey, you Brother Oshi. Yeah. You know, he's living here in Atlanta now, but he's from Milwaukee, and he attended the sessions that I conducted on my off days, you know. And he told me all the positive things he's doing because he listened and he understood, just like the sister I saw back in Milwaukee about a year or so ago. She says, hey, Brother Oshie, because of you, I'm a teacher. So you never know what life you can affect, what impact you will make. That's why being consistent, being a man of your word, a woman of your word. I know when I started the process of trying to work with our people, I understood that I can't be like, I'm saying this and then doing that. Because if you are found to be a contradiction, if you're found to say one thing and do another, and to be a liar, your credibility is shot. Who should listen to you? You know, you can apologize all you want, but your credibility is over. And so for me, my word, like I always say, I say this all the time, I ain't got no money, because I don't. I ain't got no money, but what I do have is my name. And that's important to me. Because I want to feel I can be trusted. I want to feel that I would fight for us, fight for our children, protect our sisters, protect and assist our elders, honor and revere our ancestors. I want that to be something that for me is important. We, in this situation that we are in, and even though the majority of our people don't understand it, the majority of our people are, you know, they deal with the mundane things of life, whether it's here or anywhere else. Wake up, do what I can. If I got a job, I'm thankful. If I don't, I'm hustling. If my hustle does well, I'm glad. If it doesn't, I'm continue to try. Or I just out here on the streets. And it's scary. Because what this situation has done is breed and created a lot of mental illness. A lot of mental illness. Predominance of people who are homeless and poor are us. The predominance of people who are in institutions, particularly in prison institutions, are us. Way more than our percentages are us. But yet we have a Negroocracy, the gatekeepers, the politicians, the religious leaders, and so forth. You know, now, I know you're saying that these people do have the interests of our people at heart, and I beg to differ. Because they don't seriously put their lives on the line to make these kinds of changes. They talk about them and say, hey, you know, we're going to try to throw a little bit of money at that. Hey, you know, come to the service, drop a little money in the collection thing. And so you can, you know, get a blessing. At this juncture of our lives as African people, it is very tenuous. It is very serious. And I know that myself and all the other brothers and sisters who think about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty is a small fraction of us. In fact, a sister asked me, good friend of mine, good sister, called me last night. We were on the phone for quite a while. We hadn't talked in a while. And she's going to Africa. And she asked me, she says, I was just thinking, Brother Oshie, he says, what percentage of us do you think goes to Africa or wants to go to Africa? And obviously you have to have wherewithal to go to Africa. I'm quite sure when I went, some of the brothers said, I sure do wish I could have gone. I sure do wish I had the money to go. In that sense, I'm blessed in that sense to that degree.
But the reality is, a lot of our people who do have the wherewithal, they don't go to Africa. They don't go to Africa. I venture to say the majority of our people, the percentage of our people that go to Africa that have the wherewithal to do it, is probably about 5 to 10% if it's that high. Yes, there's some brothers and sisters living on the continent, living in Ghana and Tanzania and Botswana and South Africa, Azania. They're supposed to be calling it Azania from now on. So when you hear somebody talking about South Africa, no, Azania. It ain't South Africa. It's Azania. But when you look at the thousands of our people who repatriated, probably tens of thousands, there's a billion of us on the planet, y'all. And there's so many Africans who want to leave. There's so many Africans who want to leave and go to Europe. Oh, definitely come to the States. The Africans that want to come to the States, brothers and sisters, these Africans would do anything to come to America, where they think the streets are paved with gold. But very few. Because we've been trained to hate Africa. Here it is, the continent. Now, if you want to deal with that Pangea thing, okay, because there is some history of the continents, and you can see the formation like a jigsaw puzzle, how this would fit here and that would fit there, that it was all centered at one time. And then, of course, the land mass is starting to drift and fall apart. But the center of that land mass is Africa. That's why Africa is the birthplace of humanity. That's why Africa has all of the resources. There are other places that have zero resources, but yet they come to Africa. I may mention this before, when I was in Ghana many years ago, Nana Kofu, at One Africa, we were looking out over the ocean at night, sitting back, and I noticed these lights way out there on the horizon. And I said, Baba, those lights out there, man, what is that? Is that a fishing vessel or something? What is that out there? He says, yeah, it's a fish. I said, is it Ghanaian? No, it's not Ghanaian. It's Japanese. Japanese cut a deal with Ghana to fish their waters commercially. Everything is done on that boat. Everything is done. They do everything. Bring the fish in, gut them, clean them, process them, package them, freeze them, package them, whatever, and sell them back to the Ghanaians. But more importantly, they send that bounty back to Japan, because, you know, they ain't no fish in their waters around that island. Those islands of Japan. You see? So it is Africa. This computer that I'm working on would not, if it were not for Colton, that is being mined by little children, particularly in the Democratic Republic of Congo, formerly known as Zaire. It is Africa. All of the resources that, if we had the heart and the spirit and the mind and the oneness of Africa, not Nigerians, not Ghanaians, not Senegalese, Africans, and say, we are working together to control Africa's resources. You want something, you will pay fair market value for it. It is Africans. I know it's tough to visualize that for some of us. But there was a period of time that we did everything for ourselves, independent of anybody. We didn't ask nobody for permission. We didn't ask for their assistance. We didn't ask them nothing. We did it. And in spite of all of the horror and all the things that we've been through, we still hasn't. Maya Angelou said, we still rise. We still rise. In spite of all the other things that have happened, we still create. We still invent. We still assist. But yet when you look at our situation globally, a small handful of us are doing well. The great majority of us, not so much. And the small handful act as the buffer between the European and the legitimate wishes and wills of our people. They are the gatekeepers. They are, these men and women are just as much the enemy to us as the European is, as the Arabs, the Chinese. Now, you know, I was talking about the Chinese, my friend said, well, you know, the Chinese, you know, they ain't like the European. They came in, they were saying, hey, we do this, we'll do this, we'll do this. And they cut deals. Well, we see now that because of whatever failures some of those countries have, like the Chinese built an airport. I can't remember who it was. I think it was Uganda. They have that. That's their airport. The Chinese have established security forces. Whoosh. The United States has about, what, 30 of them? 30 bases on the continent to protect whatever interest that the Europeans have? With the big stabilizing force is Israel for the Europeans in that region. But from that point, they can go out and just tag anybody. Drop a bomb, a drone bomb on anybody. So I have no illusions, brothers and sisters, about my wanting to move to Africa, wanting to be who I am. I have none. I understand clearly what we as African people are up against. But I also understand the resolve of African people. I understand the tenacity, the resiliency, the will of African people. We were the first here. And I know that the genocidal attack on African people has been ongoing and continues to be ongoing. We don't want to see it. We don't want to admit it, that there are those of us who are trying to kill us and eliminate us, trying to, because of the Europeans' inability to breed. There have been experiencing negative population growth for some time. One of the strategies that they're engaging in is this so-called cross-cultural breeding. You see it all the time on the commercials now, don't you? And in other sitcoms and so forth, all these light skin. I know we hailed these three sisters that were Miss Teen USA, Miss This USA, Miss America, whatever, all at the same time. But, you know, and one wore her natural hair. She didn't have no kinky fro, but she wore her natural hair, and we give her some props for that. But if you look, all three of the sisters, exactly.
they ain't the dark skin, thick lips, big hips. No. And none of them sisters who have been Miss America. And if I'm wrong, correct me. Point it out to me that a dark-skinned, beautiful, dark-skinned sister was Miss America, Miss USA, Miss Una. Correct me. But there's a process going on. And we have to deal with it. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to try to start closing out of the program around this time so I can make sure my good brother, Franklin Jones, the Black People Matrix, they come on time. And so we'll be closing out on Mondays, Wednesdays, and even Fridays. Hopefully our sister Marcia Lee will get it together. And she'll be broadcasting on Fridays after my program. So that will be great on all three fronts, and we appreciate that. So brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. Shemhotep, brothers and sisters, mean golden peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Abibifahodio. Abibifahodio means our victorious destiny. We will conquer for sure. See you on Wednesday. Enjoy the program after mine. Peace, family.